Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I hope we're all savavienning tonight. Darlings, it's Monday. We're in March right now. We're hurtling towards spring in the year 2021, and we are broadcasting to you live all around the world. Can you imagine? Our technology isn't always our enemy. This, of course, is Come Now, Don't Sulk, and this is Mummy Sybil Brunson coming to you live all around the globe. It's so exciting to be in both hemispheres and below the equator and above the equator and below the waist and above the waist and in your panties and in your backyard. And I'm coming over the airwaves, and this is the most exciting thing. We're on Blog Talk Radio, the network, and we're part of the Here Be Monsters studio. And when we're here in the Here Be Monsters studio, we couldn't be here without our own matriarch. No, not a patriarch with T. M for mother, matriarch, with our own producer, our own founder, and our own head chemist, Gwendolyn Holdenberry, who, of course, is also the founder of DaughtersOfISIS.com. Darling, I could spend the whole hour reading her entire resume of accomplishments. And, of course, this is Women's History Month, and today is Women's being a woman, I should know it. Something very important, special National Woman Day. But anyway, it's DaughtersOfISIS.com, and they're our sponsors, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. And Gwendolyn Holdenberry is here. Gwendolyn, how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful. I'm celebrating International Women's Day today with the rest of us gals on the planet. Thinking about how gals
International Women's Day. I've forgotten the international part. Thank you.
Yes, it's all us broads all over the world.
Well, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing to be doing. And I want just to remind everyone that DaughtersOfISIS.com, that's all one word, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, is our sponsor. And we also are sponsored by listeners, just like you listening in right now. Thank you. You can call in tonight, and we encourage you to do so, 323-784-9639. Get your crayons out, any color from the Crayola box, 323-784-9639. Please call in and join us. And Gwendolyn, would you like to introduce? I believe we already have a guest in our studio, don't we?
Well, yes, we do. We have one of our Sunday co-hosts over on the Sunday show. Wayne Jobson's with us tonight from Annapolis, Maryland.
Very good.
Wayne, how are you tonight?
I am doing fabulous. Thank you for asking. Doing very
you know
well.
What? It's really exciting because I think our audience doesn't realize that with COVID and with all of the things that were going on, we're not all in the same studio. We, like all of you ordinary people, you're not really ordinary. We love you, but you are the audience, and there can never really be anything very intimate between stars like Wayne and Gwendolyn and I and you nice people in your homes right now.
Well, those are very kind words. I like what that was very good. I like that.
Mummy is being facetious, darlings. Of course you're valuable. But anyway, Wayne is in Annapolis, Maryland. Mummy
Correct.
Is up just outside of Philadelphia. And Gwendolyn is coming to us from Port St. Lucie in Florida. So we're scattered all over the United States. And that's why we're so happy that all of you scattered all around the world are joining in to listen and to join us tonight. Please call in. We get phone calls from all over the place, and we'd love to have you call in. Wayne, since you're our guest from last night, well, from the Sunday show, and we didn't have a Sunday show last night. What would you like to chat about tonight? Is there anything you'd like to chat about?
Let's just say that you're driving the bus. I'm happy to sit back and look at the view.
Nonsense. I, being a driver, often take my eyes off the windshield, and suddenly I've turned around, and that's when we go into fiery bus crashes, and Mummy drives off the cliff. So
you
two
what?
Have
so
to help drive the bus.
Okay, I will help track the bus. Well, you know what? Of course, the the very good interview from Oprah to Markle and Prince Harry and stuff. And there were some very eye-opening things that did come out. One of the things that really kind of made me sit up and say, you know, oh, hell no, was the marketing aspect of the crown was very concerned with what color of the skin Markle's, the grandchild, the great-grandchild of the queen would be. And I thought, how shallow.
Oh,
yeah.
He is of the royal family.
There hasn't been this much tea in Boston Harbor for 250 years.
I know, but you know, as Dylan sang, the times are changing. It's time to set up. This is not a homogenized world anymore.
Well, you know something, the thing that really got my gut, and I can imagine, Mummy, you would feel the same way about it, is the padding of the hand of the tabloids in Britain by the royal family.
Yeah.
That's just incredible to listen. That was depressing to hear. And, you know, you got to have compassion for such an elderly. And as you pointed out, Mummy, she's the longest living monarch. And is it history now? It is, isn't it?
I'm sorry, say it again. She was coronated in 1953, the year of my birth. Maybe 52. I might be off one moment.
But the point is, she's the eldest living monarch, and I have a bit of compassion for her, because this is something that, you know, the iron hand of patriarchy has marshaled into her all of her life, and she really feels that there is a protocol and a tradition. That's all she's ever known. And it's gotten her into trouble before. I guess she's just not too much of a rebel at all. Not like her sister. But you have to have a little bit of compassion for that. All of that said, it's atrocious to hear all of that. It's so disappointing.
Well, let's approach a couple of things. Let's see if we agree on a couple of things here. Because I was watching on Facebook... I was reading on Facebook, my goodness, opinions swinging left and right like machetes. You know, people, Meghan Markle bashing, Harry bashing, all of it, and then Elizabeth bashing, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
First of all, I've made a huge mistake at the opening of the show. I didn't ask Gwendolyn for a fragrance that we should be shopping for tonight on Daughters of Isis. So before we go into our topic, Gwendolyn, tell us a fragrance that would be really good for this oncoming spring. You know, we're about to have the equinox, and so what would be a great fragrance for us to look at on daughtersofisis.com tonight?
To get ready for spring?
Something lovely.
Something really lovely. I would suggest something to appeal to the goddess. Our Isis blend is in a mist and an oil, and available. It's a beautiful blend of rose attar with rose attar and Brett seed. There's blue lotus. A little bit of blood orange and French ocean pine in it.
Wow.
That's really clarifying, but it's a beautiful, and a little bit of jasmine gram. So
I love that idea of the lotus, jasmine, and blood orange.
Yeah.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Sounds edible.
Salivating like Pavlov's dog right now.
Exactly.
Well, she is the queen.
And what's
of
the
heaven.
Name of it again, Gwendolyn?
Isis, the queen of heaven.
Perfect.
The mother goddess. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yes, she is the unified expression of both the dark and the light to anchor a new standard of balance, harmony, and healing into the world. And she's always been there. She's the ideal for the Virgin Mother. It was her and the baby for it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. It's wonderful. So listeners, tonight, while you're listening to the show, be sure to go online to daughtersofisis.com. That's all one word, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and check out any one of their 500 products. All of these essential oils are so mind-expanding, spirit-expanding, philosophy-expanding, sensual-expanding. They're wonderful. So please check out their products tonight. And Mummy was using the medicine. Tonight I used, I don't have the bottle in front of me. Gwendolyn, what's the medicine ceremony?
Ceremony, hell. Yeah. I always spray
a certain fragrance for every program, and tonight I'm actually using up the very last of the last of my medicine ceremony bottle, and it was like, oh, I was so sorry. I took the atomizer out and was like strangling the cute little plastic straw, trying to get the last of it out to put behind my ears and on my wrists before I broadcast tonight. So, but check out their wonderful products. All right, let's get back to our subject. I'd like to ask both of you something.
All right.
Can we agree? No, I'm not going to phrase it that way. First of all, a couple of things. I have a couple of notes here. For years, I have been saying, and I got incredible heat for this years ago, that I wondered if Harry was a product of possibly an affair between his mother and I won't name the person, but
right.
Harry looked exactly
He looks like his daddy.
Well, he certainly doesn't look like Charles. And he doesn't look at all like Will. So he looks like a certain courtier who was a friend of the family, and the coloring and everything, the only similarity he has in any way to William is the fact that he is going bald in the same unfortunate way. But everything about him is exactly like a certain courtier. Was that the reason why there's been all of this strange scandal for years and years and years about DNA tests and, is that something that is coming home to roost now? Let's not go any farther than that. Let's just find out. Gwendolyn, do you think that he is fully a son of Prince Charles?
I do. I think that Diana had that much integrity. I do. I think that he looks like what I see in his face is his mother and his mother's family. And I think that's where the ginger comes from, if you check.
Okay.
But you know, that's just me being one of the girls, too, I suppose.
That's all right. Okay,
no,
Wayne.
It's an honest answer, and that's good.
Yep, Wayne. Your answer.
For me. Now then, I did see, I spent some time in Europe and stuff, southern Mediterranean area, and one of the British tabloids had their paparazzi with a really, really strong zoom lens, and the curtains were cracked open enough that basically he was a bodyguard, you know, the British red uniform and everything, and they had him bouncing around playing horsey and things like that with him riding on the back, and he was as ginger hair as his jacket was in his uniform. And they showed a better close-up picture of him in uniform and what he looked like. And I can tell you right now, Harry looks just like that man. And I don't want to throw stones. I guess I have already too late.
Yeah,
but I think we've crisscrossed the Rubicon on that one.
Okay,
I think there could have been
family.
A possibility there.
Let me just say this. They're royal family, and I'm sure there would be DNA testing. I'm just saying. I mean, that's all Persterpes. Do you know what Persterpes means, gentlemen?
Well, go ahead.
I'm thinking that that's by blood, honey. That's the only way you get the grub. But I do think that the DNA was probably tested by the royal house. Yeah.
And that's probably a very good point, Gwen.
So they know whether or not. Mommy, we do have another caller. I'm going to open up the mic.
Okay.
If it ever opens. There you go, caller.
Hello?
Hello.
Is it Pamela?
No, this is Howard. How are you?
Howard, how are you tonight?
Yes. I'm doing okay. I had some questions for you. I was looking for some advice, if you'll indulge me.
I will. Will you wait 1 second? I just want to close up this one thing. I just want to make sure that the audience
sure.
at home, just on the subject we were just closing up on, was the two, there were actually several people that were suspected of being Harry's father. One was James Hewitt, which is the one that Wayne was
right.
talking about. He was
okay,
a dashing army captain.
Very good.
Let me finish. And then there's yeah. Geddy Dyer was another one. And then there are a couple of others. But those were the names that were being bantered around at different points. So just so that the home audience knows that that's what I was referring to. And we can discuss that or not, as the case may be. Howard, how are you calling? How are you doing? Where are you calling from, by the way?
I'm calling from New Jersey.
Okay. What's up tonight? What are you calling in about?
Well, I think it's an appropriate night for it. I hope it is, it being International Women's Day. But I am I've started the I guess you could say exploratory process of transitioning, and I feel good about it, and I'm ready to go with it. At least I think I am. But my parents are very, very against it. My father and my mother. And they're being very ignorant about it, and they're really asking a lot of crazy questions, and I just feel not very heard right now, and I really don't know what to do about it.
May I ask, how old are you?
Oh, I just turned 32.
Okay. And so your parents are in their 60s or older, younger?
Well, they're older, actually. They had me when they were older, so they're actually both in their 70s.
Let's open this up. There's always good news and bad news. The good news, in my opinion, is that, and I don't mean this in a pejorative way, the subject of transitioning is old news. It's not something that – it's not like Christine Jorgensen was having to deal with it back in the 50s, which was just – it was like something that people couldn't even conceive of. Even in major cities like New York City, people were thunderstruck. The original reaction to changing one's
gender –
Well,
they're a little old school.
Was like
to
changing
them,
one's
to
species.
To them, I think it's older.
Well, but the point is that this has been at the top of the news – for a while. So that's good news. So that your parents are in a world where this has already been discussed. And of course Bruce Jenner
you would think but they're a little out of it.
Well, of course,
but I
understand. We'll get to that
they
too.
Agreed, go ahead.
No. We're going to get to that in a minute, but I just want to say that your parents, though they may not be up to speed on it, are in a world where many, many, many people have heard and discussed this subject, you know, and so that's good news for you. You're not coming from the planet Uranus with this idea or this suggestion. There's lots of support. There's lots of there's just lots of science and support and emotional support around this. And the question is, how do we get your parents to feel more comfortable so that you're more comfortable? Gwendolyn and Wayne.
One thing I was pretty amazing about was amazed about was I said I would be calling you tonight, and they agreed. They agreed to, if I wanted to bring them on, that they would come on and talk to you about it. So I don't know if you'd be interested in speaking, at least to my father, Ben. But I think speaking to someone like you would really help him.
Well, first of all, I'm chuckling because, I mean, what do I know? I'm very flattered, Howard, that you feel that way. I guess because I have lived a life that has, you know, I've lived with many challenges in my own life. First of all, just to be gay in this world, I'm old enough to remember when to be gay walking down a street in New York City was dangerous, let alone walking down a street in Buttpoke, Montana. You know, I talk about this with Gwendolyn. Right. I've talked about it with Wayne before. Mm-hmm. The movie was on Turner Classic Movies, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, where Sidney Poitier and Catherine, I can't remember her last name, the actress who is Catherine Hepburn's niece, happened to be her niece, mm-hmm. are getting married. And Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? In 1968, the thought of a black man and a white woman getting married was the end of the world, and 17 states censored that movie, banned that movie,
yep.
because they considered it to be communism, Satanism, immorality. They considered it to be Hollywood trying to destroy the American way of life and family values. This was the end of the world. Today, high school students are going to not only going interracially to proms all mm-hmm. over the country, not just in New York, but in Buttpoke, Montana, but
right.
they also are having gay and lesbian couples go to proms. And I was joking with Wayne just last week and with Gwendolyn that you can't turn on that damn TV and see an oatmeal commercial now without an interracial couple enjoying Quaker Oats. And then in a montage, they'll have a black father with a Asian wife. They'll mm-hmm. have two white lesbians. They have mm-hmm. these montages of people buying Fords, oatmeal, mm-hmm. Going to H&R Block together. It's like commercials. Commercials are like showing us nothing but mixed race and mixed gender. Couples. Anything goes. Mm-hmm. Anything goes. And this shows that this next generation of people, for whatever we've got with QAnon and with the Oath Brothers or the Oath Takers or whatever the Oath Creepers.
Oath Keepers, yeah.
Yeah, whatever they are.
Yeah, right.
Mummy doesn't care. I call them the Oath Creepers. But
yeah,
the bottom
good.
Line
that
is that whatever they are, they seem to be unconquerable. They seem to be immortal. But the bottom line is that 18-year-olds today don't know whether they're dating a black person or a white person. It's like any more than you and I know whether we're dating someone with blue eyes or brown eyes. It's like it's just becoming a thing. And so what I love is, Howard, that you are old
yeah.
enough to know your heart. You're not 16 calling in to our show. And even a 16-year-old, it pretty much knows what they're doing. But you're not an 8-year-old, and you're not a 60-year-old. You're young enough to still be viable and transition into the person you want to be, and you're old enough to know what you want. And I think that is lovely.
Right.
I think it's a wonderful thing. And
well, thank
I just,
you.
I just,
but you're gonna
yeah,
have to indulge
have
me
to
here because
that...
I got my father, who I dragged up from the basement. He's actually chomping at the bit. I'm gonna put him on to speak to you if that's all right. His name is Ben.
Ben, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on.
Hello, Ben.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Hello.
You've got three people here who are scattered over the United States.
Who's there?
And you know we've got Gwendolyn, my producer, and Wayne, who's one of our regular anchor people on this network.
Your name is Gwendolyn.
Gwendolyn, say hello to Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Oh, this
and then
is
Wayne is
hello.
On. Wayne
hello.
Is Wayne is coming in from Annapolis. Wayne, say hello.
Hello, Ben.
Excuse me. Hello.
Ben, I have a question for you. At any point, so Howard has broken this news to you as a 32-year-old man, and he or soon to be she has broken this to you, and you're in your 70s. Did you ever suspect at
yes.
any point that Ben was at odds with the gender he was born with? Did you ever feel this, or did he ever express this to you or show you anything as a young child? Did he ever show you any of these?
You have to understand that
in my day, okay, we were happy with whatever we had. We were happy with what I didn't have two shoes to put on my feet when I went to school. So we had what we had. We were what we were.
Exactly.
So to him to come and say, I'm going to be a woman, be a woman, what option did I have to be anything but what I was?
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, no, sir.
And where did you come from, Ben? Ben, where did you come from?
Where were you born? I was in Eastern Europe. I was in Eastern Europe. My wife was, that's where we met. And we came over here. It's been, oh my God, many, 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 many years.
Right.
But to me, I see this guy, my son, say, I want to transition whatever it is. I say, how about you be a guy who gets a job? How about you transition to that?
Yes, I understand. Ben, when you came, how old were you when you came to the United States?
I was 24. My wife was a little younger.
Uh-huh. And where in Eastern Europe?
We were in, I was originally from in Slovakia, then we moved to Germany, but that's where I came over from Germany, but originally we were in, that was Czech Republic.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Were you refugees, or what were the circumstances that you decided to move to the United States?
I needed to make, it got very bad where I was living. Got very, very bad.
Yeah.
And we didn't, you see, we didn't have time for this. My son, you know, like I say, you say insensitive. People say, I'm insensitive. I didn't have time to worry about this.
Right. My family.
And my son, you should see, he looks even as a man. How's he going to look as a woman? He's ugly already.
Well, okay. Ben, my family had many, many friends who
came from
different...
And my wife is here too, Ray, if you want to say hello. My wife is here too. Hello.
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 My family had many friends from Eastern Europe who came over, specifically Jewish friends who came over and were escapees. We had a couple of friends who actually survived.
I'm Jewish.
War, which is shocking.
This is Ray. I'm Jewish. This is who I'm speaking to now.
You're speaking to Sybil Brunson, and we've got our panel on
Sybil.
Tonight. My producer is Gwendolyn.
And the panel.
And
Gwendolyn.
Yes, and then we also have Wayne is on. So we've got a few people on tonight that are listening
so
in and talking.
So Howard says he's a girl. This is what we're hearing. He says he's a girl now, and he was born in the wrong body. He says it's medical.
So let me interject here just real quick. Ben, I want to share a story with you. I have a coworker that I worked with for 15 years. Yeah, Ben, this is Wayne Johnson. I have a coworker that I worked with for 15 years, and he transitioned. He was running. He was actually a head of operations for the business that I worked with, a manufacturing company, and I would periodically go out to dinner with him, just stay in touch and stuff. After I'd left that company, and he confided in me. He said, "Wayne," said, "I knew when I was like 4 years old," and he said, "The best way I can describe it is, every time I looked into the mirror, I had no idea whose reflection." That was staring back at me. He was that disassociated with who he really felt he was and the image that he had. And at the age of 50, he decided he needed to face reality and transition. And he went through the whole operation. He's a successful, functioning person in society. He was a CEO running a company for in the area here, and he has his has an engineering degree, industrial engineering degree, and he has his MBA. And
well, at least he has a job. My son doesn't even, at least this guy, this woman, whatever, has a job. And he probably had a look. My son, he's going to look like a Frankenstein in a dress.
No, that's not exactly true, because the gentleman I'm talking about, or actually his name now is Pam, and I worked with, she hired me back when I was out in Columbus and brought me back to Maryland. And, you know, she was wearing a dress. Everyone accepted her. They knew that they accepted her as being a woman because that's who she really was.
Ben,
and there wasn't any test. Yes, Gwen, go ahead. All right. Now, let's just give you a little bit of background of what I've seen firsthand.
Okay.
And we appreciate it. This is Ray. We appreciate it. Thank you for that.
Well,
The other lady was going to say something, and I'd like to hear it.
I was going to say that while we've all been in isolation and lockdown for such a long time, and all the family dynamics have been coming into play, but you do know if you have a pen and paper, you can get counseling for the family online right now for this specific for transition and all that comes up.
Well, he's not a girl yet. He's thinking of becoming one, and he says
he says
a lot of people get the surgery, and I don't know about unnecessary surgery and all of that.
Well, there is a place you can go to get a little bit of guidance, family guidance. And it's called BetterHelp.com. And they are very good.
That's the website.
It is. And it's online. It's online services. And they can help with many different issues that go around this. And the
He told us, he said that he couldn't even have the surgery because there was an issue with the way it is now, his genitalia, and it was too small, and they can't do the surgery if that's the case. So I told him that's a sign, and maybe he shouldn't do it.
That is something that you really should address with mental health and emotional health. Counselors, they can be ever so helpful, especially
right now.
Because
his penis is small. I mean, really, this is why he wants to do it, because he feels he's less of a man, so he wants to go and to be a woman, I think.
Okay. Whatever the issue is, it can be dealt with.
I'm going to interject here, if I may. I have known, because of my own journey, with different people and living in New York and being in the entertainment world and all of that. And I've always had...
But as far as he said, he should go to work and stop the nonsense, and I agree. He needs not a surgery.
Well, jobs are really something that's very difficult right now because
but
isolation
even
before, and lockdown.
Even before, and if he's going to be a woman, how is he even going to do? What's he going to put a tampon in? How is that going to be?
Well, he wouldn't actually have need for one, but Mommy, I'm going to kick that over to you.
Where will he put? That's a good question, though. Where would he put a tampon?
I don't think he would, because he hasn't got ovaries.
Exactly. So what's all this carrying on if he doesn't even have ovaries?
Well, that's not how transition surgery happens.
And he says he took hormones, and I believe it because now he has breasts.
Okay.
Well, I think what we're doing is we're sort of like piling in here. So let's take this one step at a time.
What man would want to be with him? What man would want to be with him in that state?
Okay, well, again, I think that what we're doing is we're sort of just yelling questions, and we're just coming up with lists of things that are.
His right. If he has a vagina, it'd be like a thimble. There'd be nothing there.
Howard, are you still on the line?
Yes.
Wow.
I see what I'm dealing with.
Yeah, I've got to tell you.
What you're dealing with, you're an idiot. You're the son I never wanted, and you're going to become the daughter I never wanted.
One thing I'd like to say, because this is only an hour-long program, and we're dealing with like a very big, big issue here. So what I want to say is this.
Very upset that you want to get a vagina. You think it's funny, and I think these people think it's funny, but your father's
no,
very
I don't
upset.
Think it's no, I don't. Excuse me, who's making all that noise on the phone? What's all that interference we're getting?
It's not here.
Okay, who's ever moving their phone around? Maybe we could stop that. Okay, so anyway,
yes.
What I would like to
it's right in my
like
ear.
Okay, I'll let you go first. Okay, all right. I'm going to just address this because our show is half over, and this is a lot of topic to discuss.
It looks terrible as a man.
Long.
You
let
could
me,
imagine
let
as
me,
a woman.
Yeah, Howard. I'm just going to tell you right now. You're going to have to. Think about the fact that other people have gone through this, that 50 years ago, people were discussing this, not transitioning. They were talking like this just about a son or a daughter being gay, let alone being transitioning into a different gender. I have known many people
over the years.
Well, he's
telling us when they do it, because of the size of his genitals, they can only make the vagina half an inch deep. So what good will that be?
But the point, that's not why he's doing it. He's not doing it to have babies. He's not doing it to have that. If he is truly a transgendering adult, he is
uncomfortable. He's transgendering into a moron.
Howard, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Howard, I understand where you're coming from. I can't offer any advice because obviously there are people who want to discuss it and some people already have their opinions on what is going on and what the reality is. So all I can suggest is that you go the path you're doing, the good news. I told you the good news and the bad news. The bad news is that it seems to be a very,
remember,
very
I remember when he was born, there was nothing
and
there.
Unfertile.
There
I'm
was
going
nothing
to just,
there. And if he's going to have a vagina, he should have a bush like his mother.
Okay.
Oh, my.
Howard, can I ask you a question? Was this a put-on? All of this was a put-on?
Nope.
Well,
this
it sounds like it. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to turn the call off, Gwendolyn, because
what,
it's starting
what
to sound like it's
fuck
the,
him
Gwendolyn,
we're looking like
would
a
you disconnect?
Frankenstein.
Gwendolyn,
I think we should disconnect this call. I extinguished the call. If there's
yeah.
sincerely
it,
a Howard
it sounds,
out there.
It's gone way too far. It's gone
yeah,
way too
this,
far.
I think you and I on the back burner here thought our spidey senses were telling us we're being played.
Yeah. No, I think we had a couple of, I think that those were, you know, pranksters. And so that was just kind of
yeah. You know, it's like people coming on to argue with you. It's like we're getting around.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so I'm sorry that we weren't like genuinely helping someone who really needed help.
Yes.
Anyway, so our show is half over. It's 2/3 over actually. So that was the end of that.
Can I say one thing before we go on? For people who are listening in or who listen to the podcast later on, if truly you're having problems, with family, and at this time with the COVID lockdown and everything, there is one place you can go that I know of online called BetterHelp. It's BetterHelp.com. And they will get you some counseling that you can Zoom with or Facebook chat with, and get some service, some help, some intervention with counseling for a family or for just you.
Yes.
That's
it. Thank you for posting that. And I'd like to say that we I want to reassure our home audience that though we are certainly you know, we certainly are circumspect people. I want to assure people that we don't mock transgendering people, transsexual people, gay people, lesbian women. We are not in the business of mocking people, because we want to remind people that as recently as 50 years ago, and actually more recently than that, parents were hearing their children come in and say, "Mom, I'm gay. I want to, you know, I'm not going to marry so-and-so, and I'm going to leave for the big city, and I'm going to go pursue a gay lifestyle." And so I just want to assure people that transitioning now is the challenge du jour of this decade, that, you know, with Bruce Jenner, an Olympic decathlon gold medalist. The hope of America against the Soviet Empire, turning into Caitlyn Jenner. I mean, you're talking about one of the most astounding pieces of transitioning ever. And of course, for him to be a conservative Republican makes it even more hysterical. I mean, it's like, oh my God. So we just want you to know that if you are someone who is gay or lesbian, or that you are biracial, or that you are transitioning, or that you are any number of amazing and wonderful algorithms that human beings are becoming now, and are finding for themselves, that we support you, and that the most important thing is that a human being has, the founding fathers had it almost right, the pursuit of happiness, right? They didn't even know how much the pursuit of happiness, what the pursuit of happiness meant in the 21st century. Well, their 18th century notions did not even come close to what we are now approaching in the 21st century. And we encourage you to find your path, to embrace your path, because all three of the people online right now, Wayne and Gwendolyn and I, have had our own challenges. I'm getting emotional. Have had our own challenges. We have had days as young people when we were not, we were vexed or thwarted or challenged or teased or bullied or in doubt. We were all of those things. And we would not wish that on any child in a baby carriage right now. We would not, when we look into the face of an infant with those sparkling open eyes and a smile, that innocent, we wish that infant every possibility, every hope, every joy. We bless that child and hope that that child will only know love and joy. And to bring it back to the subject we had at the beginning of this whole evening, when we weren't being derailed, Archie, baby Archie. First of all, he's ridiculously good looking. He's adorable. And the thought that anyone would say, I mean, let's be honest, whether you hate Meghan and Harry, or you hate Elizabeth, or you hate the monarchy, or you couldn't care less, the fact that any newspaper owned by any shithole would say, is Meghan Markle's baby going to be a chimpanzee? Okay. You know, to me, that's where we bring back drawing and quartering. Anyone who would say that about an innocent baby, right? Unborn, and say, oh, well, her baby's going to be a chimpanzee. To me, if I ruled the world, I would have that person dragged into the courtroom. I would have their hands put in manacles and then put into a fire so they would never type that kind of sentence again. That
yeah.
kind of language is punishable by mutilation. Not death. Oh, no. Not death. They must live. They must live for 80 years with two stumps and a sign around their neck saying, I called a baby a chimpanzee because I'm filled with poison. I'm not.
Right.
I am a poisonous, rotten human being, and I am going to be kept alive by the state as long as possible to prolong my agony. Look at my
yeah.
stumps and tremble. Be afraid, because this is the punishment. I'm telling you that Howard, whether he is really transitioning or not, if
mm-hmm.
if he is transitioning, and anyone who Gwendolyn or Wayne or I come across in life, if you're gay, if you're a lesbian, if you want to date someone in another race, if you want to date your own gender, if you, whatever you want to do with another consenting adult, whatever you want to do with your own body is your journey. And we bless you and want you to be as happy as
exactly.
anyone could possibly be.
I just
okay?
want you to be happy. Right.
I want to make sure, I'm sorry to have belabored that, Wayne and Gwendolyn,
but I
don't want anyone listening to this show tonight thinking that we were in any way dismissing the challenges of being a transgender person or anything
oh, no.
like that.
Right.
I will say, Pam had three children, and two of them, the two older ones, have totally disowned him, owned her.
Yeah. Oh,
will
okay.
not allow the grandchildren to interact or even know their grandmother.
Uh-huh.
And just for the audience here, and where the coming from one perspective here, I am a white heterosexual male. I grew
uh-huh.
up in the what I saw was the repressive. I grew up in the suburbs of Baltimore, but at the age of 14, we moved to the Eastern Shore of Maryland, and this is where who started the Underground Railroad.
Right.
Frederick Douglass, who escaped and taught himself how to read and spoke. I moved to a heavily segregated, there were still white only and black only in the bathrooms of the Chevrolet dealership. In
yes,
the little town
of course.
I was in. And I was like, I was in another world. I was in another whole culture, another planet. And I heard words and attitudes that I had not grown up for the first 14 years.
Right.
And so basically, and that's, you know, everybody is the sum of their own life's experiences. And I knew then and there that these people were wrong. And my attitude from then on out was I will not tolerate, because I am Celtic Viking ancestry blood, right? You do that, I'm ready to get my claymore sword out and, you know, go at you. It's just, you know, and yeah, you know, the term berserk is a Viking word where you whip yourself up into a frenzy and go into battle.
Yeah.
I can get to the level of berserk for ignorance like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway,
I've always been a bully. I'm a bully against bullies. I'm someone
yes,
who
that's
eager to
you.
Wade into battle and to
yeah.
be a monster,
yeah.
when it comes to
right.
the innocent. When innocent beings are being
right.
brutalized, animals, children, I set fires. I am a tiger.
Yeah.
I am a monster. I was born under the sign of the dragon. I am the dragon. I will
yeah,
lay wait. To a nation for destroying. My fury is terrible to behold.
Well, I'll tell you what, gentlemen. On the last, since 2016 election, I have stepped into it, but I've stepped into it all my life when something wrong was going down. I am not, when I was younger, I could get furious. Now I just get indignant or outraged. But you do know my middle name means kind, right? Holden means kind. So, and I think kindness is the most important thing on the planet right now. We really, truly need mothering. And it sounds like Howard, if the scenario has any
right.
grip to it, what you can learn from what was going on there is is Howard has not had any mothering. And or the mothering he has had has really been kind of dismal. And kindness.
Well, do you believe that what we were hearing was real or not real?
I think we were getting played, guys. I really do. My spidey.
Well, so that's what I'm saying is that I agree with you on. I leave it to you though, Gwendolyn, to try to. I guess I leave it to you to be kind to Donald Trump if you can do that.
Oh,
maybe you can
going
convert
a little
it,
too
but,
far.
Well, see, so there you go. But to me, there's a time to pick up a sword and to wade into battle.
Yes,
and then
is.
The survivors, if they agree to kneel in front of you and apologize as
there
prisoners of war, the survivors,
you and I are all the same cloth.
You know, I'm sorry. I'm beginning to get to the point where I'm thinking that we should exhort blue voters to go out and hoard guns and bazookas, that we should arm ourselves, because if we really are drifting towards a civil war, then I guess that's what we need to do. The history is full of people trying to be kind and reason with the other side and compromise and negotiate. And then there's times where it's suddenly Hitler has taken over, okay, the Sudetenland, and then Hungary, and then Czechoslovakia, and then suddenly he crosses into Poland. And that's when Stalin finally said, geez, I was pals with this psychopath, and now he's gone too far. I have to draw the line. And so, you know, everyone negotiated and enabled and, you know, explained and apologized, and then it was too far. The Civil War, people negotiated for 30 years before that. South Carolina was a nightmare starting in the 1830s. And everyone kept saying, well, let's try and negotiate. And slavery kept marching westward, you know, the Nebraska-Kansas Act, et cetera, and Missouri and Nebraska. They would have taken it to California if they could have. And the bottom line was it had gone beyond the beyond the beyond. And then you had a couple of 100,000 people die in appalling cities burned to the ground. Major cities, Richmond, Atlanta, those were major metropolis areas. Yes, by 1860 standards.
Atlanta,
but gone. Richmond, gone. Richmond looked like San Francisco earthquake. There was, it was like brick walls standing with nothing else. So we may be heading that way too. And again, we bring it back to these issues which are around us all the time, whether it's transitioning people who are being mocked, or transitioning people who are millionaires like Caitlyn Jenner, who then continue to support neo-fascists and people who want to have nothing to do with them. It's incredible that she would be tempted to this, because certainly she's never going to sit to dinner with Donald Trump and his family. And they'll never have anything to do with her. They just assume have her thrown into an oven as every gay person in the country. So the bottom, we need to call a spade here. So the bottom line is that we are still in this cauldron of whirling, swirling, smelly issues that are somehow resolving themselves, we hope. And again, I go back to, you know, maybe 2,000 years from now, people will find old videos of our oatmeal commercials and say, well, they were on the right track, weren't they? I mean, there's a lesbian couple and an interracial couple buying a Ford and a bowl of oatmeal and, you know, going to H&R Block and having their taxes done. It's like, where are we? We're trying to get there. I mean, it's appalling. Prince Harry's son was being talked about. Will he be dark? Will he be too dark to be a member of the royal family?
Yeah, they were attacking him in the womb, right?
Yeah. And then they're pulling his security because he's the child of a mixed race mother or whatever those excuses. This is bizarre. These people are billionaires. Queen Elizabeth, if she was not guilty, is guilty of not calling in Rupert Murdoch and the heads of the other five families. And I'm making that Godfather reference. But the other trash newspapers, she should have called them in to, because she throws the cocktail party. They said they throw the party every year for all the press. And then she should have called up all the networks and said, I'm the queen and I want an hour's worth of airtime today. And they would have all said, okay, you're going to come on air? Yes, I'm going to come on air, and I want to speak to the country, and I know that you'll put aside time for me. And they would have. And then she should have gotten out there, and she should have said, listen, this is where I stand. I don't care who my grandson's father is. Mm-hmm. I don't care anything about that. I love my little great-grandson, Archie. Okay, he's priceless. He's ridiculously cute. And so this is what I'm going to tell you. The next newspaper that ever writes anything like that again, anyone who ever writes that kind of stuff again, I will personally take my billion-dollar fortune and everything that I own, and I will sue you again and again and again and again until you literally are lying face down in the dirt and are eating dirt. You will have nothing. Your children will have nothing. I will ruin everyone within two blocks of your home. I will ruin your neighbor.
Every battle of attrition, and she has the weapons.
And she has the money. And I feel badly that she did not do that. I don't care what the firm is or what all that stuff is or the dark energy or the dark government. She has enough money to say, I have decided that I'm going to punish people for my sheer vengeful pleasure. I'm 90 years old. I've lived through all of this. And I have enough money to ruin anyone who gets in my way. I'm looking at my great-grandson's face, and I'm going to ruin anyone who ever crosses him again.
You do know, though, that while this was going on, this Meghan bashing in the tabloids, the peers, the House of Lords, were in Harry and Meghan's court. They had empathy and sympathy for her.
Well, that was one of the things that was the headline. 72 members of the parliament came out, but his own father didn't. But Prince Charles didn't.
So we all know if he's a Wiggly. I mean, come on.
I think that there were some revelations. I think, first of all, I didn't know that there was a third entity. I didn't know that there was the monarchy. And I knew there was the monarchy. I knew there was the president, the press. But I didn't know that there was some mafia or some strange, weird, dark third party telling people what they could and could not do. It was a revelation to me that Harry loved his grandmother, and that she was not a part of this, and he continued to say that. It was a revelation to me that Harry was totally behind Meghan, and not only that, it was a revelation to me that Meghan Markle came off as well as she did. The first hour, I was a little worried, and then but when Harry came on, it was like he backed up everything she said and more. I'm not a fan of the monarchy. I don't care about the Real Housewives of Orange County, and I'm not someone who lived on the monarchy. The monarchy is Britain's answer to Hollywood. They are people who cut ribbons for hospitals and go out and do good works and go to Anna Wintour's, $2,000 a plate dinner parties at the Metropolitan Museum. That's their version of Hollywood. And
yes,
so this is what's right. So this is, and people, Americans say, well, why do they care about the monarchy? Well, they don't have a Hollywood industry that they care about. They this is what they hold up as their example.
No,
of people
they have
who live a certain way.
They have actual actors, Shakespearean actors.
But
they have people.
But
who
Judy
are
Dench is Judy Dench doesn't hold the same thing for them the way, Rihanna does for us or whatever, whoever it is. So the bottom line is Americans have a very dim view of Britain's royalty and the whole minuet that's going on between them and their newspapers.
We only have a minute.
Yes,
so.
I know. You know what? We only have a minute, and Wayne, you'll come back next Monday, and we'll talk more. I want to just say I'm going to sign off, and I'm just going to say you've been listening to Come Now, Don't Sulk, and this has been brought to you as part of the Here Be Monsters studio on Blog Talk Radio. I am indeed Sybil Brunch, and we were brought to you by our wonderful producer tonight, as always, Gwendolyn Holden-Berry, who's our own international woman of renown. We have our own in-house international woman of renown. We want to remind you that it is Women's History Month, and daughtersofisis.com, that's all one word, daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, remains our wonderful sponsor, and we're also sponsored by listeners just like you. Thank you. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and you can find us at Sybil Brunson's Lollipop Guild, which is a wonderful page. Please join it. It's free. And also at SybilSays.com and SybilBrunson.com. We were thrilled to have Wayne Johnson here tonight. Wayne, you kept a very straight face during that whole transitioning discussion.
Look, I've heard it all.
We're
I've
gone.
Heard it all. I have seen it too much. So, but thank you.
I'm glad to know that you're a white heterosexual male, but should you choose ever for any reason, even at this late age, to transition, I would like to suggest that you change your name to Winnie Johnson. It's just a suggestion. And of course, it would be Winifred Johnson, not Winnie.
I'll keep it under consideration. How's that?
Winifred Johnson. And I will be changing my name very soon from Sybil Brunson to Simple Luncheon, but that's a menu item and that's a whole different subject. In case I transition into an entree of some sort, I decide no longer to be a radio hostess, but to be a dinner of some sort at a Shriners convention. I will be Simple Luncheon going forward.
You two are precious. I think the world will be very good, folks.
Gwendolyn, I love you.
Yes,
Wayne,
I
adore you.
Right back at you.
And we will see all of you next week here, 8 p.m. Eastern is it Eastern Daylight next week? It's something. Turn your clocks forward or backward, whatever. But we'll see you here. Spring forward, fall backward. Yes, that's what my uncle used to do after he was drunk too much. He'd spring forward and then fall backward. But anyway, we will see you next week, Mondays at 8. Okay, good night, everybody. Have a wonderful week and stay good to yourself.
Good night.